Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Jim Cobray.
If I can, let me just share this with you, and then I'm going to get right into quickly the Word of God. How to stay healthy with God. One of the neat things about this church, you put the title up because I just said that, how to stay healthy with God things. One of the neat things about this church is that it's a very healthy church. Healthy in terms of honesty and integrity and holiness. Healthy in terms of saying it like it is, being up front, being righteous before the Lord. None of us are perfect in here, including me and Deborah. But it is a healthy church. It's not a church that is deceiving or deceitful in any way, but it's a church that's sincerely doing all that it can and has for many years to do the best that God would have us to do with what we have. If we had more, we would do more. But somehow, if God wanted us to have more, we'd have more and we'd be doing more. So it's really not the issue of getting more. It's really the issue of getting more God. And I believe it to be a healthy church. And what makes a healthy church is a healthy congregation, healthy people. And that's you. It would be a sad indictment of all of us that are in the pastoral ministry if we just did not have you in mind as we do what we do. We do what we do in women's ministry. We do what we do in men's ministry. We do what we do every single week. 11 services a week. That's like crazy, first of all. We say that to people. People say, what? 11 services. Other pastors can't even believe that we'd have 11 services a week. It's just unheard of because every service is a lot of work. I mean, we do everything we can to take care of you. When you walked in, you saw the roof all torn off because during the construction stage, there was somebody who part of that roof fell on them and almost killed them during construction. We noticed it was cracking a lot, so here's another expense. We've got to take the next couple of weeks and tear the inner foyer apart, and forgive us for that. We'll clean it up before every church service, do the best we can so none of you do anything. But we want to make sure your kids aren't hurt, you're not hurt, and do it the right way. And so we're going to be putting up the right kind of things. We just have you in mind. And so when I come along and I make a statement how to stay healthy with God, it's a really important statement. And here's why. Since we've been tracking salvations, which has been probably the last 15 or 16 years. Since we've been tracking, we're 26 years old, probably didn't even start counting salvations for the first 10 years. But since we've been tracking salvations, it's been like 250,000 people that have walked down the aisles. Maybe tonight there's maybe a couple thousand adults here, plus kids, plus youth. And, so there might be 2,500, 3,000 people at church. Where are the other 247,000 people that came to church and got saved? It's really a good question. And will somebody be asking that about you a few years from now? That you used to be someone who went to church and had a great relationship with God, and somewhere along the line, you stagnated and stopped going to church and stopped getting involved and stopped making the effort and found yourself just like those other 247,000. Not all of them went away from church. They went to other churches. They maybe weren't in the area. A lot of people, you can probably count at least half of them that go to other churches and things like that, and that's fine. But there's tens of thousands of people that should be here tonight that are not here. And until you and I understand that the condition of being healthy is your own personal responsibility, then nothing is going to help you. I can't help you. No pastor in this church can help you. No man or woman of God anywhere can wave a magic wand over your head and help you. You're going to have to take the responsibility that what I am this year, I will not be next year. I'll be greater with God, not less with God. I'm not going to stay the same. I'm not going to be in that trap. I'm not going to fall away. I'm not going to be excited for God this year and bored next year. I'm going to stir myself up on a constant basis, like Paul writes to Timothy. I'm going to stir myself up. I'm not letting myself get down. I'm going to go with God. And that's a, like this church is healthy because it keeps on keeping on. And you're healthy with God when you keep on keeping on and you stand strong and stay strong and you get strengthened all the time every week as you come and get into a place with God. And that's what this is really all about. In Psalms 92, verse number 12, let me pop it up on the overhead, it says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like the cedars of Lebanon. Now, wait a minute. Didn't say the righteous shall say the same. Didn't say those that are washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is bored out of their mind, don't give a flip about God or God's ways, don't care about going to church, don't care about being the man or woman of God that they've been called and the price has been paid for them to be. What it says is they shall flourish like a palm tree that grows very fast and sturdy like the cedars of Lebanon. And that is what a healthy person ought to be like. They get saved and they grow and they never stop growing. In other words, I'm the different Christian than I was when I first started because I've never stopped growing. There's always more of God than I can even imagine. I know very little about God compared to how much there is about God. And you're fooling yourself if you think you know it all. And some people come along and they say, well, you just don't teach me. Can I tell you something? It's not about me. It's about you taking the responsibility of finding yourself into a place with God where you grow. It doesn't say that the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree if they happen to listen to Pastor Jim. I don't see that in the Bible. They flourish because, man, they're connected with God. They're staying in their righteousness. They're getting strong and they're moving forward. The church's job is twofold. One, get people saved. Second, get them to maturity. And maturity comes a little bit at a time. And so the job that we have is to see that you remain healthy and that someday someone doesn't stand in this pulpit and say, well, there's been 500,000 salvations and we're still at 2,000 on a Wednesday night. Because you fell away and a brand new group of people are here. How sad is that? And how sad would it be before God when you stand before God if you let that happen to yourself? You have got to take the responsibility that there is something. You've got to stir yourself up every single day. Yes, there's pressures. Yes, there's trials. Yes, there's problems. But you got to stir yourself up and not let yourself get complacent with the things of God. You don't know nothing about God, and neither do I. There's more that God wants to share with us. And we forget that all the time and we get to the place where we're lazy-minded, lazy, and then all of a sudden instead of being healthy, we're unhealthy Christians. And it won't be long before you walk away from the things of God. And that would be a real tragedy. Four things will help us stay healthy with God. God gave me four quick things. I'm just going to pop them up on the overhead. Y'all just make a little note of this if you can. Number one, keep your mind fixed on Him. Have you ever thought about what you think about during the day? No, of course not. Nobody stops and says, well, I'm thinking about my car all day. I'm thinking about my job all day. I'm thinking about my work all day. Have you ever stopped and really thought about how much time during the day you literally meditate on who He is and what He has for you? Compared to the day, I mean, 24 hours a day, all day long, have you ever stopped and tried to take an analysis of your lifestyle and how much that you think about God? Because listen to this. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, can you finish the verse? So is he. So if I'm thinking about other stuff, my school, my boss, my job, my finances, my economics, what people think of me, my job, my home, my car, my freeway, my travel, my experience, I get all worn out all day long by the world that wants to come in and rob from me when I should be finding myself spending time in meditation of who He is and what He wants me to do and live by. In order to stay healthy, you're going to have to stay connected. Let me say it again. Whether you like it or not, in order to stay healthy, you're going to have to stay connected, because you are made to be connected. Each one of us have something to give. And we need each other. And by yourself, history tells us you will fall to the ways of the world. Did you know that? History tells us for thousands of years that the world will come in and suck you right down the toilet with all of them. Well, you live, if you're born of the Spirit of God, you understand what I'm saying. You are born again, you are alive forevermore, and you live in a world that is already dead until they get saved. You live among dead people that are walking around in the shopping centers, on their cars, dropping and driving, working on the job. You live among dead people, and you're alive. And what in the world? If you don't find yourself connected on a regular basis throughout the entire day with him, you will find yourself soon disconnected. Is anybody listening? In fact, the wonderful word of God, let me just share some verses with you. Paul writes to Timothy, and he tells Timothy about all the things he should be doing, showing off the word, showing his life, living a certain kind of life, tells him what to do. And then he makes this statement, 1 Timothy 4, chapter verse 15, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. These are the things of God. Now, wait a minute. Would God tell us to give ourselves entirely to the things of God if we could not do it? The difference is between healthy and unhealthy, between connected and disconnected. And that's the difference, is what you think all day long is what you will become. If you think of yourself as a loser, if you think of yourself as a failure, if you see yourself as down and out, if you see yourself as part of the world, if you see yourself as that, you will find yourself failing in life. And he tells him, he says, give yourself entirely to them. What for? That the progress may be evident to all. My goodness sake, all of us are in a progress. And it's just a progress of health, progress of life. In 1 John, the second chapter, write it down, verse 15 through 17. These three verses are so powerful. It said, do not love the world or the things that are in the world. It's so easy for us to have our minds so fixed on the things of the world that we don't think very much during the day about who God is and what God wants to do and what God promised us and what God spoke to us. You know, a lot of words were spoken by the Holy Spirit to a bunch of people. There were hundreds of you up here in front. And those words by most of you will be forgotten by God by tomorrow. And that should not be that way. And it says, do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So there's no way I can love the Father and love the world. And yet the world wants to come in on a regular basis and bombard my thinking, a regular basis and destroy my marriage, regular basis and destroy my work, a regular basis and get me caught back up in ways that will destroy me and keep me from being healthy with God. And I become this unhealthy Christian, complaining, fooling around, messing around, never going on with God, all because I stopped what I was thinking. Verse 16 says it like this. It says, for all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh, here's what's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. In other words, if you're thinking of stuff that keeps you away from God and disconnects you with God, it won't be long before the pride of life comes in. It won't be long before lust of the flesh or lust of the eye comes in. And all of a sudden, you're starting to be controlled. You have to every day bring yourself back to the meditations of what God is, what God's done for you, who you are in Christ Jesus, and what God wants to do for you in order to stay connected, in order to stay healthy with things of God, because it starts with your thinking process. Is anybody listening? We're talking about simple four things that'll help you stay healthy with God. Number one, keep your mind fixed on him. Number two, work at walking in God's ways. And I say it like this, work at it. Because there's times when you won't always walk in God's ways. Come on. If you think you're going to always walk in God's ways, then you're nuts. And we'll, after church, there'll be a prayer teams up here that'll cast the nut devil out of you. Because, is there a nut devil? Must be. I've seen a lot of them nowadays, especially third service. You didn't get that, did you? work at walking in God's ways. You got to work at this. In other words, sometimes I just don't feel like responding God's ways. I feel like cussing. Am I the only honest person in this building? You know what I'm talking about. I feel like anger. I feel like strife. I feel like anxiety. I feel like frustration. I feel like a whole lot of stuff, but my feelings can't control what I'm supposed to be doing, so I gotta work at not doing my feelings and doing what God says. In the book of Ephesians, it says, walk worthy of your calling. In other words, get out there and do what God called you to do. You're no longer what you used to be. Don't walk that way. Walk, and don't walk the way the world walks as an unhealthy person. Walk the way God would have you to walk. You say, why are you doing all the hand thing? I don't know. But walk worthy of God's ways. I like the word of God because it says in Proverbs, the 4th chapter, verse 18, for the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter into the perfect day. Here's what I'm saying. If you're walking God's way, somehow your path is just going to get better and better and better. You may start off with a real terrible day. Anybody ever had a bad day? A sucky day. Can I use that word in the pulpit? No, Debbie says no. Okay, Luke, Pastor Luke says yes. Two generations right there. One said no, the other one said yes, they did. I'm a total mess. I don't know who to listen to over there. But anyway, it should start off with a bad day. Instead of having a bad day, man, listen to this. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter into a perfect day. In other words, I can start off with a bad day, but if I stay the ways of God, it's going to turn out to be a... Wait a minute. You missed it. I can start off with a bad day, but if I stay the path with God, by the end of the day, it will be a... And how many want a bad day instead of a perfect day? Raise your hand if you want a bad day instead of a perfect day. Because we need to pray for you after church. Cast every devil out of you. Got a whole legion of them in you. Anybody? So that makes it very clear that your path is very important. And so we need to work at walking in his ways. Sometimes you don't. Then you repent and you get back to God. And you repent and you say, God, I'm sorry. I was walking in faith yesterday. Today, I'm not walking in faith. I was walking believing God for you the other day. I was just totally up, man. And now I'm just down. I don't understand this. Then shake yourself, repent, and get back to God. Because guess what? As you walk God's ways, the day becomes perfect. It's true. I didn't write that. If I wrote it, I would collect the royalties on the Bible and I'd be very rich and I'd take you all to Maui. How many want to go to Maui? Don't raise your hand. We're not going there again. I like this. Very important for all of us to understand. Number three, four things that will keep you to stay healthy with God. You got to spend time with God. You got to spend time with God. That's why, you know, can I just say something about this? Whether you like it or don't like it, Some of you have come to church once every 2 or 3 weeks, and that's more than you've ever done in your life. Your whole family says you're crazy and radical, and why do you go to church on some other day other than Sunday? And you know, what is that all about? You're not getting goofy. Why don't you hold your religion to yourself? All that kind of stuff. I've heard it all of my life. And can I just say something to you? The more you're in a place where you're getting fed the word of God, the stronger you're going to be. And it's very important that you spend time with God, not only in church, but prayer time or walking time or singing time, shower time, bathroom time, reading time. In other words, you do a lot of stuff throughout the day, but how much time do you spend with God? Can you spend a little bit more? Because the more time you spend with God, doesn't matter what you're doing. You don't have to get into the great intercession. That's hard for some people, especially us men. You don't have to get into great evaluation of reading your Bible. Sometimes that's not it. Maybe just singing a song. Maybe just telling him how grateful you are. Maybe just telling him how much you love him, how much you appreciate the fact that you're different. Just spending time with God. Did you know the more time you spend with someone, the more you get to know them? And the more you get to know that person, and when it's God, the more you fall in love with them. And the more you fall in love with them, the healthier you become. Imagine that. I heard someone say one time, he said, God just wants to fellowship with you. You know, the truth is God just wants to fellowship with you. Can I just say it like this? He does not need to fellowship with you or me. He's God, doesn't need anything. We need to fellowship with him. We need to be with him. We need to have a healthy relationship with him. And it all comes by spending time. I can't tell you how many times over the years we've counseled with people that are getting divorces because the husband is gone. When the husband's out of sight, out of mind, or the wife is gone, out of sight, out of mind, it's a very difficult pressure in a marriage. It takes a very strong spiritual marriage to continue in the relationship. And the more time you spend together, the greater your marriage is going to be. And it's the same thing with God. Spend a little time with God. The verse is so cool. It's Psalms 84, verse number 7 says this. They will go from strength to strength, each one appears before God in Zion. In other words, somebody's got to go before God and they'll go from strength to strength. Spending time with God is wonderful. You can do it in your practice, doctor. You could do it in your business, Federico. You can do it in Joe as you work for the county. You can do it in every area of your life. You could do it as you paint houses. You could do it as you are the plumbers that God's called you to be. You could do it wherever you're at because it only takes a moment to turn your heart on to God. And at that very moment, the other day I was sitting in Debbie had a doctor's appointment for eye, and I was sitting in a doctor's office. It took a long time. She kept texting me. And I wanted to text her back and say, stop texting me. Get this over with. Let's go home. You know, but the doctor was caught up with somebody else and didn't get into her for quite a while. And I just spent time in the lobby with God, And you know what? When I got out of that place, I was happy. I was filled. Notice what it says, strength to strength. You get stronger when you spend some time with God. Last one for tonight. Four things that will help you stay healthy with God is fight to hold on to righteousness. Look, you are not just common people. Stop acting like common people. Remember from number two, walk worthy of your calling. Walk in his ways. And sometimes we act just like the world, when in fact we are really different than the world. And as I said to you before, the world is filled with dead people that are dead already. until they get their life regenerated by Jesus Christ. They're dead. And you and I don't need to act like them. We're full of life. We're born of the Spirit of God. We're brought back into a new family. Who are we? We're not common people. We've got God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He backs us in everything that we do. Whatever we say, wherever we go, whatever we do, God is with us. He's our protector. He's our provider. He's our healer. He's our justifier. He's our sanctifier. He's God Almighty. My goodness, we're alone? No. We're healed by his stripes. We're adopted into his family. We're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Why do we act like mere men? When you get saved, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And why in the world would you want to stay the same, act the same, do the same? The Bible makes it very clear. You're going to have to fight to hold on to righteousness because the world wants to come in and make you common again. And the devil wants to defeat you at every turn of the road, but he can't do it unless you give him permission to do it. We're different. Because we're washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not arrogant, nor are we pompous, nor are we conceited, nor are we proud. But we are people who know who we are in Christ Jesus, and no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I gotta fight to hold on to righteousness. One of the building projects I'm on, I want to tell you this story, is that having a hard time, Southern California Edison. Edison's never, and I don't care if anybody works for Edison here, I'm going to tell you what I think. Nothing but problems. Arrogant, pompous, horrible service. What used to be free has cost me $55,000, and nobody told me that it was going to cost me $55,000. That's ridiculous. Deborah's drawn, designed, and built one of the most beautiful homes in all of Redlands, overlooking everything in the whole valley, sitting on a hill. And a year and a quarter ago, they came, their executives, and said, yes, put the power meter, there's a power box that goes on the outside of the house, back in this corner, it's fine, we'll come up this part of the driveway, we'll come up to here and then up the back part of the lot. It'll be perfect back there. And we said, okay, we'll do that. Because we're in a framing part of this thing. We got instructions from them. A month goes by, 2 months, nobody says a word to us. About 3 months goes by. Another guy comes out and looks at it and says, oh, that's not where you're to put it. Now, wait a minute. We've already put it there. Because the last guy, so-and-so, told, oh, he's no longer, he's been transferred. I'm the boss now. And you can't take it from here. You got to put it on the other side of the house. Wait a minute. It's already framed. It's already in place. The trenches are already dug. It's already stuccoed, completed. And now I'm going to have to tear it all out and do it on the other side of the house? Yes, and then we're going to come 400 feet up the driveway, 500 feet up a driveway. And you're going to have to dig that driveway up. And then we're going to put two giant volts. They're transformers. First of all, I thought it was just one transformer. They put a transformer in. Here's this beautiful home with this giant, looks like someone built a 500-unit apartment house with a transformer in front. One house. And then a big box shows up again today. That's a pedestal. It goes next to the transformer. So here's another big thing going in. Big, giant, ugly thing ruining this house. And I saw that, and I just lost it. And I had this electrician with me. I know, I really like this guy. He's kind of goofy. I'm goofy, so the two of us get along real good. And he's not saved, I don't think. And he watches me. He knows who I am. And I went down and he said, yeah, this. I said, well, these guys, they didn't tell us anything. They just pop this transformer in. And look at this. Look at this big monster in front of my house. This is ridiculous. And nobody wants to take responsibility. Nobody wants to do anything. No, I mean, a year and a half later, you think anybody's out there apologizing and trying to help us to get this done right? Oh, no. Just do it and pay for it. Oh, man, I just wanted to cuss. And I turned to him who's watching me, and I said, I just want to cuss. And he says, well. And I looked at him and I said, but I'm not going to. Because he was watching me to see whether or not I would. So I went in my house quietly and cussed off. No, I didn't. And I've kept myself all day long righteous because I'd really like to smack somebody. I'd really like to cuss at somebody. I'd really like to call them some names. You know what I mean by names? What, you guys are so righteous, you forgot? You know exactly what I'm talking about. You do it every time you get in a freeway and someone cuts you off before you even get home from church. Don't tell me we're not in the same thing. I have to fight to hold on to righteousness because all the time, unrighteousness wants to rise up from my flesh and cause me to be something that God says I'm not. I'll close with this verse about that subject, and it's really a cool verse. Job writes these words. Anybody know who Job is? He had a bit of a problem, didn't he? Anybody ever had problems worse than Job? Let me know. We'll write a book and put it in there for you. Slide it right on in. We'll put it in the Rock Bible called John Hernandez. Job writes these words. It says, yet the righteous will hold to his way. And he who has clean hands will be stronger and stronger. Man, I'm telling you, you talk about health. The righteous will hold on to being righteous. Even though the flesh rises up and you really, come on, you really like to punch their lights out. But you don't. You really like to verbally say it like it is. You'd really like to, you know, let the flesh out, but you don't. Because he who has clean hands, stands in righteousness, watch this, will be healthier and healthier. Come on, the Lord give you a great big word tonight. Give him a hand clap. Will you do that?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.